You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com. Hey everyone, welcome to KoopaCast number 76, 30 years of Mario. I'm your host and I'm your host, Matt, the multimedia manager of PNM and purenintendo.com, your independent source for all things Nintendo. Joining me are three other panelists, Justin Sharp, our editor-in-chief.
Hey everyone.
Alex Schramke, our writer.
Hey everybody.
Trevor Gould, our other writer.
Thanks for tuning in, folks.
And like I said, we're talking about Mario, all 30 years of it. We're going to be talking about memories of Mario, like in which your first game you played, the ups, the downs, and what direction Mario is headed today. So, as a good kind of semi-introduction, this is like an old-school KoopaCast thing. We used to introduce ourselves when James would ask us a question, and we'd introduce ourselves. So I'm going to ask you guys, what's your favorite, or what's the first Mario game you've ever played?
I guess the original one. I can't think of if I played 3 first or not. Pretty sure it was the original one, though.
Did you beat it?
Not right off. I was born in 86, so I was still fairly young. When I first played it, I was probably 4 or 5 or something. I don't recall beating it until I was a little older. But.
All right. Trevor.
It was the first one for me. And I'll date myself a little bit, but I think it was 1989 when I played it. It came with Duck Hunt, and I think we picked up like pinball and a couple other games. But I was a child, and I did not beat it, I don't think, until All-Stars came out and you could save. But that's a tough game. I still think in a lot of ways the original is tougher than even the follow-up 2D Marios. But that was my first one, and it's good memories with it, good times.
All right, Alex?
See, I'm trying to think here. For the first Mario I played, it's either Super Mario Brothers 3 or Super Mario World. I can't remember exactly because our family owned the Super Nintendo, but then I would go over to my cousin's house, and then we'd stay up all night playing Super Mario Brothers 3. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those. It's a tie. I can't remember. I was little. I don't think we beat either of them. At least not legitimately. I do remember using a bunch of Game Genie codes for Mario Brothers 3. And we would get to the end of Mario Brothers 3, and then like the game would like freeze at the end, so it wouldn't let you see the ending. So Bowser would be defeated in the door, but then like you couldn't go through the door. It was really bizarre. I remember being freaked out by that as a kid for some reason.
Is that like a moral lesson to you as a kid? You're like, oh, cheaters never win.
Exactly. That's the lesson right there. That's why I'm a straight shooter nowadays. No Game Genie.
All right. And I guess I have to answer my own question. So Super Mario Bros. 3 was the first one I played. It was also the first one I beat. And I used to be able to beat it several times. Like, because I remember, like, I beat it to the point, I can do it to the point where I would beat it just so I could play it again with, like, all, Like, you know, if you beat it, you get like all the P-wing slots, or all your little pockets are full with P-wings. So you could play through like almost every level in the game with just the P-wing and just fly through everything. So I would just beat the game just to do that.
It's your victory lap through the world.
It pretty much was, because it was get the
I don't know.
T-wings, beat Bowser, and then do the P-wings.
You could just, use Game Genie and put them in there. I could do that too. I don't have to beat
It sounds like the game
it.
froze before you could beat it.
No, but I could put all the P-wings in there and just, do the same thing.
Yeah, but I could do it the real way.
Today's kids are watching and they're like, "What's Game Genie?" Nobody's gonna know what that is.
They really don't even have like cheat codes in general nowadays. I mean, like Game Shark was through the 90s, I think.
Even Action Replay now is kind of, I think there's one for the 3DS, but really the only reason why you'd buy that is like to hack in Pokemon. That's like the only reason you buy an Action Replay.
Yeah, I can't think of many uses for cheat codes nowadays.
Sigh.
It's funny
That
though, Matt,
was.
you're talking about wanting to run through with all P-wings, and yet today, like with the new games where you can get like the white raccoon and buzz through, and today we're like, oh, we don't want to go anywhere near that, we want to do it legit, but
Yeah, for me, that's the worst feature of the Mario game is when that little box comes up and says, "Hey, you obviously suck at this game. Here's a guide." And
I was playing two on the 3DS the other night, and that came up, and I was so, I just felt like such a loser. I'm like, no, I don't even
kind of
like it
feels like the
offered.
game's judging you.
That's what it
Just
is,
like.
and I mean, I'm glad it's there for people who want to use it because I think that's a cool feature. But yeah, it just really, it's kind of a polite way of being like, yeah, you're not very good.
It's like, here's your badge for trying.
I kind of like it. It kind of spurs me on, Like, I use it as fuel. Like, all right, I know I stink, but I'm gonna get this.
Said, I'll show you.
I had that pop up a bunch in Star Road and New Super Luigi U. I finished that a few months back. I was re-going through it, and I was like, you know what? I never 100%ed Super Luigi U, so. And there were a couple levels there that thing was reminding me several times. I'd start the level. It's like, you should use this. Or
It kind of reminds me of, it's like the equivalent of the older sibling who you would have to like call over to hand off the controller to. Like, oh, I can't beat this. Can you beat this for me?
Exactly.
So, would we all agree like that's the worst feature in the Mario series so far, or is it like
Oh
one
no,
of your
I don't think it's bad. I just personally it makes me feel bad, but just in terms of a feature, I think it's great. Especially for younger people who haven't quite developed like platforming skills, they're not locked out from seeing the entire game. So in that sense, I think it's a great feature. Personally, it just really makes me feel, like I'm not very skilled. So I have a love hate feeling of it.
They should be able to turn that option off. Like, and when you
Yeah, I
start
was
the
going to
game,
say
like
that.
file start, do you want to turn the super guide on or off? You hit off,
I mean, it's a very minor annoyance for me, honestly. Like it, I mean, sure, it's like, yes, I know, it keeps reminding you, but I don't know, to me, it's something that I wouldn't do, but hey, it's there if someone does need it, but it's not inhibiting me in any way.
All right. So my question is then, if that's not the worst feature in a Mario, like that they put into a Mario game, what is the worst feature that they have put into a Mario game?
That is a good question, though, is it?
That's a good question. There's critics up here all over the board, but I mean, you could say that Mario Brothers 2, pulling up the turnips and was slowed down the gameplay and changed the gameplay more than people wanted. But I mean, nowadays I think it's kind of unique and it's an interesting Mario game to play, and the turnip mechanic is kind of silly. Pull these turnips up. It kind of slows down the platforming, but it's a fun diversion.
I'll tell you what I didn't like. In Super Mario World, why couldn't I take Yoshi with me in the Bowser's Castle?
Ah.
That made me mad. I was like, he's my buddy. I've been trying to keep him alive all this time. And then he's just going to abandon me because he's scared? Like, come on, man. But there's that one ghost level that he'll go into, the ghost ship. Because it's different. That's the only ghost level you can take him in. But any other ghost level or castle, you always like jump off of him and then enter. And as a little kid, I was like obsessed with Yoshi because I thought he was so awesome. I was like, no, Yoshi, come with me. Why are you leaving me?
Yeah, I never noticed that.
I can't think of like a feature per se, but I'll just say I've been playing them through this past week in preparation for Mario Maker, and while the early games I think are the clear winners in terms of like imagination and level design, the new games, the mechanics are so much tighter, I think, like, and expanded too with like butt pounding, wall kicking. Like if I go from playing a new Super Mario game and go back and play the original, like the movement feels slightly off, like the hit detection seems a little different. It's just, it doesn't have that tight responsive feeling that I think Nintendo's mastered. I'd like to see them go back to, you know, to the more creative aspects, but in terms of control, I think the new games have aced that. So I guess that would be, that's more of a, just how the series has grown, I guess. It's not really so much a bad feature. Because they were all great for their time. Yeah, I can't really think of a bad feature.
Let's see.
I know Matt's going to say blue coins in Sunshine.
No, I wasn't, but that because I didn't think about it. But you're right. The blue coins were the worst. I'd like to thank you for bringing that up.
Oh, why did I do it?
Because that's such a cop-out.
No, that pinball level.
The pachinko machine?
Terrible. Yep. Super Mario Sunshine, the big Plinko board, whatever it was.
Yeah, Pachinko?
Pachinko, that's what it was.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the Price is Right,
Plinko. Yeah, Plinko, yeah. I was thinking.
That was such a... Oh, that level was infuriating.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not going to say the blue coins in Sunshine. I'm going to say the Yoshi in Sunshine was the worst feature in any Mario game. Because that Yoshi was useless. What did he do? He didn't offer you any extra movement that Mario couldn't already do with his flood pack. Yeah. And he could, like, barf on, like, the yellow spongy stuff. That's what it was. Don't sugarcoat it. Nobody sugarcoat it.
But how does he compare to Yoshi in Mario 64, Matt?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was,
lives.
Like...
He gives you 100 lives.
Yeah, but you've already beaten the game. Yeah. It's like
you might not even... The casual player might not even know Yoshi's up on the roof. It's a throwaway... feature, at least in Sunshine, you get to control him and play as him. I mean,
well,
I take your
that,
point.
I'd argue that the Yoshi in 64 was an Easter egg and not a feature. Yeah. A feature is something that you could take into the game like throughout the entire experience, or at least most of the experience.
Oh, now we're getting technical.
Yeah. And like, well, Yoshi was a core feature in Sunshine, but he was awful. And, yeah.
But he was cute. He was so happy.
He was until he touched water, and then he just disintegrated out from under you, and then he had to go find the specific fruit that he wanted.
Mm-hmm. But you know what redeems him? You can wipe away all that stuff. This is the fact that when you rode on him, he would add extra beat to the music. That there is like, it redeems it, in my opinion.
But he did that
in Super
Mario.
Hear the extra beat to the song. Yeah. Yeah, I know. But that was awesome, so they brought it back.
Yeah,
I think just the fact that he was in the game, I mean, he was a big loss in the original. I think the fact that he's brought back in a playable form, even if it's not a perfect way, you know, is ample compensation for not being around in the prior adventure.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Ooh. You go from playing Super Mario World, where Yoshi's like, you know, this key new figure, and then you jump to 64, and there's no Yoshi. It felt like a step backwards.
But
and
then
Sunshine
got...
corrected that.
No, Super Mario World 2 corrected that, where you played as Yoshi with Baby Mario.
Yeah, but is that a Mario proper, or is Yoshi's Island like its own thing?
It says Super Mario World 2 Yoshi's Island. It says it right on the box.
Only in the U.S. really... release, not overseas.
I like
we're gonna classify it as
it doesn't say that in every region.
we need to get Miyamoto on the phone.
It doesn't.
No, Miyamoto said in an interview that it is a proper Mario game.
One of the viewers who's watching this, look up and see which regions actually say Super Mario 2 and which don't.
No, it doesn't matter. Miyamoto said it was a proper Mario game.
They can change. He said the Koopa kids were Bowser's kids, and then he said they weren't. I mean, he can change his mind.
Yeah, he can. That's true.
Well, until he changes his mind, I'm right.
He's apparently
Super Mario Historia book. Until we get a Super Mario Historia book, it's not canon.
What, Yoshi's Island?
No.
Oh, it's so canon.
The spin-off title.
But I'm off on so many tangents already.
I can't stop laughing.
The point I was trying to make was that what Yoshi is good in a 3D environment, and Galaxy 2 put Yoshi back in proper. Because not only was he in there, but he felt like an expanded moveset. Yeah. He had like little special peppers that enhanced the gameplay. Like that was a 3D Yoshi done right, and it was unique to Galaxy.
Yeah.
Sunshine could have done that. They could have made the Yoshi not dissolve in water. They could have given him an extra flutter jump or something like that. They could have added something more that made Yoshi like a more worthwhile experience. Like, I always dreaded a Yoshi level in Sunshine, but I always look forward to like a Yoshi level in any other game. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's seven, eight years of experience, too, to fine-tune that. And, you know, that's a sizable gap, you know, new platform.
Yeah, but that doesn't make the Yoshi in Sunshine any less of a bad feature in Sunshine.
Oh, no, I just think looking at it in the context of when it was released, you know, and I think it's like we talked about with 64, too, the camera on that's horrendous. But at the time, it was groundbreaking. I feel like your arguments with Yoshi maybe are kind of... you know, kind of similar, but I'm speaking as a Sunshine fan, and I know you're not as fond of it as I am, so.
No, I am not as fond. Least favorite Mario game.
I was so glad that Kaylin also voted for Sunshine in our top three, so I wasn't the only one. I looked through everybody's list, and I'm like, who else voted for Sunshine? And I think she had it in her number three as well, so.
It's a fun game. I think I have more love for the handheld Marios, but... that's just because I'm more of a handheld gamer myself, so. Those don't get nearly enough love.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about, I forgot about the Super Mario Land games.
Yeah, Super Mario Land, the Six Golden Coins, the sequel. That's the first time we got to see Wario.
Yeah,
that's right. That's a great game.
Yeah, do you guys remember the sound effects and music in the first Super Mario Land? Like, yeah. Those little, like, jumping, flying things that you encounter early on, like, or in the desert level or something. Like, you jump on
them and you squash them.
Something, and, like, it creates this, like,
Then you jump on a Koopa, and the Koopa explodes because it's a bomb.
Yeah, there's a bunch of, like, weird stuff in there. Like, when you hit the bosses with a fireball, it would make, like, this weird, like, noise.
But
that's just a bizarre game.
I love that you could fly in that game. Like, they had the little, didn't they have, like, they have a submarine? I know they had, like, a spaceship.
Yeah, they had a submarine.
Yeah, submarine and airplane, yeah.
That was so cool. Sorry, I'm thinking of cool features. But...
no, that's fine. I mean, that pipeline was way cooler than Yoshi and Sunshine.
Well, Land had original settings, too. Like, what was this? It started with an S. Egyptian like hieroglyphics like on the wall, and a lot of those weird enemies that they look like Koopas but they weren't, they blew up, or you know.
Yeah,
I think that had a lot of creativity.
It's probably like the weirdest like soundtrack of all the Mario games.
Yeah,
but like it's so awesome.
Yeah,
don't ask me how I could spell it, but it is Sarasola Land. I just started throwing it S's and A's into Google, and it found it.
Thanks, Google.
You know, it's funny, that kind of sounds like an anagram of... the guy in Link to the Past that you find in the...
Sarasahala?
Yeah, Sarasahala. Yeah.
Sarasahala, as we
pass. I wonder if their names are connected at all.
Sarasahala is from Sarara Land.
Yeah.
Sounds like we're speaking in tongues here.
Yeah.
That's a good tongue twister.
Yeah, that was a fun one. That is definitely a unique Mario game.
So what is the most unique Mario game then?
I would say that is a very unique one. It kind of reminds me of Link's Awakening, actually. Like, it's interesting. The first Zelda game on the Game Boy is a very different Zelda game, you know.
The same thing with
Mario Land is very different, you know. I mean, it's still platforming, but I don't know. It's like they took the limitations of the hardware and they're like, okay, let's just try and do something crazy so that way there's no resemblance to anything on the consoles. It's just completely new, you know.
Yeah. My vote would go for that or Super Mario Brothers 2. Super Mario Brothers 2 might be like a shoehorn because it was
Doki Doki Panic.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Although, it's interesting that for years, you know, people kind of viewed that as it wasn't a proper Mario game, and I think it was recently, maybe only like 2-3 years ago, where Miyamoto actually said it was originally conceived like as a Mario sequel. But then they decided they wanted to stick with what worked, and they did Lost Levels. Then when they found out that was too hard, they kind of flipped back. I should have looked up the quote in preparation for the podcast.
Well,
come to find out years later, it actually was conceived as Mario before it took on the Doki Panic license or whatever, to then flip back to Mario.
Well, they
does that ring a bell? You guys know what I'm talking about?
I don't think so. I'm not disagreeing. I just don't know.
No, well, it was conceived for some kind of like a game show, like Tokyo Dream Show or something, some kind of like tech demo.
Yeah, I remember the Tokyo Dream thing.
Or whatever it was called, but that's where like, I guess it became Doki Doki Panic.
Yeah, I wish I could.
We'll figure it out. The most unique game. Let's see.
I mean, Mario Sunshine is even pretty unique.
I still vote for Super Mario Land.
I don't want to give Sunshine any credit.
Keep talking. I'll be back. I'm not leaving because you're knocking Sunshine. So.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
To Matt, Sunshine.
Oh, wait, Trevor, come back.
While he's gone, I'm going to get really nasty on Sunshine. I did enjoy the little platformer sections where they took away the flood in Sunshine. And there was like the random floating box. But then that's essentially what Galaxy is now, like Galaxy and Galaxy 2. So I think those would be some of the more unique Mario games.
Yeah. But wait a minute. What about Hotel Mario or Mario's Time Machine?
Was that a licensed Nintendo game now, or are they just licensed to use
the characters? No, they just licensed out the characters. I just had to throw those games out there.
God, Mario Time Machine. I remember trying to play that, and I'm like 10. I don't know anything about history. I'm just putting in numbers and watching Mario surf and get mushrooms.
It's just like, what is this?
Is this the whole game? Whatever, let's surf again.
So I don't play Super Nintendo to learn. I own a copy of Hotel Mario, and it's weird because it's a terrible game, but like, there's like this tiny like hint of like fun. Like they had like an okay idea for an arcade style game, but then they just like ruined it with all the stuff that they just slapped into. You're going around like closing doors, and like to beat a level, you have to close all the doors in the hotel, which is really weird.
Oh, you're talking about Hotel Mario?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's bizarre because like, you know, dodging the enemies and getting the power ups. And closing the doors, well, yeah, it's a weird concept. It kind of works as an arcade-style game, and it's fun. But it's like the game controls. Yeah, I got it, too. There it is. The way, I don't know, it's just... they ruined it with, like, the mechanics, and it's just...
If I could interrupt for a second, I got the... I pulled up the Mario Wiki to check out the Doki Doki Panic stuff. So I'm going to do some reading here.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it was originally submitted as a prototype for Mario 2.
Okay.
And then it went to the license.
It says, Doki Doki Panic Engine started as a Mario-style tech demo using vertical scrolling mechanics as opposed to side-scrolling mechanics. Shigeru Miyamoto suggested the inclusion of side-scrolling mechanics to make it more of a Mario concept. Nintendo entered a licensing deal with Fuji Television, and the game's development proceeded with Yuji Kojo characters. Yume Kojo characters. Shigeru Miyamoto, as a result, was more involved with the development of Doki Doki Panic than he was in what eventually became the original Super Mario Bros. 2. So there you go.
Okay, so it's Fuji TV, not Tokyo Dream Show. I don't know where I got that from.
Well,
that's good to know, though.
Mm-hmm.
It does give some more context to it.
Yeah, that's good to know, because for years, like, I mean, Nintendo, originally, their sequels were always different anyway, like Zelda 2, Castlevania 2, I think. But for years, I think Mario 2 always had that kind of, well, it's not really a Mario game, and I think it's kind of good now that more info's come to light. You know, not that it matters to us, obviously, because we're game players, you know, no matter what, but like Justin said, the context is good.
I feel like the inclusion of those Super Mario 2 characters in other Mario games helped legitimize that much, much more.
Yeah.
Like, right. You can't say it's not a real Mario game and then have all these characters appear in later Mario games, you know. Obviously, Nintendo feels like that Super Mario Bros. 2 USA, whatever you want to call it, you know, has a legitimate place in there.
Well, that's the thing, is they actually re-released that game in Japan as Super Mario Bros. 2 America. So, I mean, like, it did have a legitimate release in Japan as well.
Yeah.
And the mechanics stuck around. Like, with 3D World, Luigi still has that high jump.
Yep.
Peach, Toadstool Peach still has that floaty thing, so.
And the blue toad is back.
Yeah. It was cool that they legitimized it even more so than the new one. And Mario 3D World was awesome too. I mean, it's a unique game in and of itself, being the only multiplayer 3D Mario. But
outside of the side scrollers, like, or outside of the new series, I guess. Like, I kind of like throw the new series to the side. They're all like very, very unique titles in and of each other. Like, you know, 64 is different from Sunshine, and it's different from Galaxy. And Galaxy 2, I guess. And those are all different from Super Mario 3D World. Like, they've, like, just changed the formula so much. Even though they're all Mario games, they've taken what works, and then they just completely rearranged everything else, and we get, like, a unique experience again.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what I love about Nintendo, is that they're not afraid to experiment with their intellectual properties. I mean, Zelda, we've seen lots of different art styles, different types of gameplay. Same thing with Mario. I think that's really cool. I think Nintendo gets a lot of flack for just sticking to their IPs. I don't know why that's a bad thing, but I think, you know, to Nintendo's credit, they usually add or, you know, create new ways to play, new reasons to buy Mario games or Zelda games, or, you know. Whereas I feel like there's other perennial franchises or other companies out there that do less in their iterations or sequels than what Nintendo does.
I think that's where people get confused, is they think, oh, it's just another Mario game. You know, it's not like like another iteration of Madden, where it's the same thing with an updated roster. You know, there's usually new mechanics or something that make the gameplay fresh. And I think that's where people are wrong when they give Nintendo flack for sticking with their IPs. There's still a lot of innovation that goes on.
Oh yeah,
I think there's probably an element of jealousy, maybe, or it's used as a defense mechanism, because you look at, like, Sony, Microsoft, how many, you know, IPs, how many first-party products do they really, you know, have in comparison to Nintendo? You know, it's a drop in the bucket. And part of that, you know, Nintendo's been around longer, sure, but like Justin was saying, I think they do more with their properties in a positive way than Sony or Microsoft, you know, do.
Mic drop.
Boom.
Well, I'm going to pick it up again, because we need to keep the ball rolling here. What are you guys' opinion on the new Super Mario Brothers series? Because I thought that was the weakest part of Mario's lengthy career, I guess. Because it was like, new Super Mario Brothers, I got it, I played it, it was kind of fun. I thought the music was super boring, but that's kind of besides the point for me. And then they came out with New Super Mario Brothers. Well, was it New Super Mario Brothers DS, right? New Super Mario Brothers Wii, New Super Mario Brothers 2, New Super Mario Brothers U, Super Luigi U. That's all of them, right?
And there's the one for the gold collecting one.
Yeah,
Because the Wii
New
had a
Super Mario
sequel,
Brothers
didn't
2,
it?
right?
That's two, Marvin.
Oh,
That's
I thought the Wii had a sequel as well. Maybe I'm going crazy.
No, I mean, U was technically a sequel to the Wii.
Okay, maybe that's what I'm confusing then. They kind of blend together.
Yeah, and
Exactly.
that's probably the thing that I would say that they're maybe the weakest is I felt like we're talking about differentiation that Nintendo usually does with Mario games, but in the case of New Super Mario Brothers series, it does seem like not a whole lot changes between those different games, the DS one, the 3DS one, the Wii and the Wii U. Now, I would probably say that the Wii U packaged with New Super Luigi is probably the most compelling of all of them. Not just because it's an HD, but they did add a lot of fun new items and gameplay elements in there. I mean, some of the levels with the big rotating gears and there's some really complex platforming in the Wii U one. So it's hard to totally discount them, but I do feel like that for the most part, they are weaker in comparison to all the other Marios.
I think like for me it was like when the DS one first came out, I was really excited to buy it and I played it and I enjoyed it because I was like, oh, it's been such a long time since we've had a 2D Mario game. This is great. And then with the Wii one, it's like, okay, this is pretty cool. It's kind of the same thing, but there's multiplayer. And that kept it fresh enough, but then afterwards it's like, okay, what's new here? Okay. I see what you're doing.
And that's to me, that's what made Super Mario 3D World so great, is that it wasn't 2D Mario. It was like a 3D. It wasn't quite a 3D Mario, like a proper 3D Mario, but it wasn't like a proper 2D Mario, and it was just something completely different. And they just kind of ran with it. We got like new power-ups. The mechanics were a little bit different, and then their imagination took off on that one. And the challenge was still there. So 3D World definitely had like the best of both worlds, in my opinion.
I felt like 3D World too, Matt. It almost was like a good mesh of the 2D and 3D Mario. It was like it seemed like a proper sequel, so to speak, to 2D Mario's. Like, hey, this is because really Mario 64 was a very big departure from the traditional platforming of the 2D Mario's. And I don't know, Mario 3D World feels more like a logical piece, if you will, between 2D Mario's and the more traditional 3D Mario's we have now.
It feels like when I think about it, it feels like what you think Nintendo would have done in the Nintendo 64 era had Mario 64 come out. Like, if you're like, a game industry thinker, back in the mid 90s, if that was a thing, and you think, whoa, we saw all these 2D Marios, what are they going to do with that? And you look at the PlayStation and what they're doing, and you're like, oh, I see it. There's going to be like a more of an isometric 3D kind of thing going on. Like, that's what, like, 3D World is sort of like, that's like what you think would happen.
Yeah, no, that's.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that is sort of the case because I, in an article I did a while back for the mag about some of the Mario games planned for the disk drive for the 64, in research in that was sort of Miyamoto's plan for Mario 64 too was. You have Luigi in there, and then they were experimenting with four players, and whether it was the hardware or just the camera or whatever, it wasn't feasible. But yeah, like you were saying, Matt, this is sort of a realization all these years later, now that the tech is up to speed, and now that their experience, the growth they've had, it sort of realizes that. But I just wanted to touch back on the new series just for a second, and say that for me, even though. Again, I think the gameplay, the control is perfect, pretty much. I really just would hope for more of that creative level design. There was one level, I think it was only one level in the U1 that looked like that painting. It had the colored skies. Do you know the one I'm talking
Oh,
about?
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's like Starry
Yeah.
Night.
Yeah, I thought that was gorgeous. And I'm like, oh man, because it's new and fresh. And then you sort of go back to the more cookie cutter designs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's and they're not bad, but I think the fact that, like with Mario Maker, you can create, you know, not just with the retro engines, but you can create with the new engines, kind of shows you, in a sense, that maybe there was that element of, I hate to say cookie cutter design because they're still well made, but I don't know how what else to call it.
I don't know what you mean. Like, here's the ice world, here's the tropical world, here's the cloud world, here's the mountain, you know.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen all that before, so I can see where you're coming from with cookie cutter.
Yeah, and I feel like there was maybe a missed opportunity, and maybe they simplified the backgrounds so they could do four-player more, but it seemed like the backgrounds, there wasn't that much depth to the new Super Mario Brothers games. Like, I mean, you guys have played Tropical Freeze, or even the Donkey Kong Country Returns. I mean, Tropical Freeze is gorgeous, and, like, just look at all that, you know, Retro Studios was able to do with the background. I mean, it's a 2D platformer, just like Mario, gameplay-wise, but there's so much, like, just interactivity with the background. You're shooting into the background. You have all these different layers. There's even a lot of stuff, you know, moving in the background that, you know, maybe, even if you can't interact with it, it's there. Where in the 2D new Mario's, it's mostly flat, you know, maybe two layers, but really there's not much going on in the background. And maybe that was just to keep frame rate up for multiplayer, but I don't know. Donkey Kong, I don't know, set the bar for me as far as, like, what I wanted to see in a new proper 2D platformer, and I didn't see that as much in the new series.
I agree. And to keep this ball rolling here a little bit more, excuse me, what do you think the future holds? What would you like to see in the next Mario title? Like, we have Mario Maker coming out, so, you know, everyone's crafting their 2D stuff, but what after that? What do you guys want to see?
Something 3D.
Yeah, I agree with Justin, something 3D. I want to see something, but more closer to Super Mario 64. I want that open world explanation.
Mm.
Exploration on, like, a flat plane. Like,
yeah.
Galaxy was so close to that for me, but what was the problem was, you know, the long jump was fun, but the spheres and stuff like that, the planetoids,
mm-hmm.
and yeah. the camera, that which is way above your head, like, this is Mario's head and this is the camera,
uh-huh.
like, all of that, it made it felt so less, like, a little bit more stiff, I guess. I'm trying to come up with the right words to say it, like, more
limited.
It was limited.
Open, yet somewhat linear at the same time.
Right. Well, yeah, and it was somewhat limited, too, because it's like, you had the path, and there's a, what, this is the path, and it goes to the star.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's, like, a little side path, but that's usually just feeding a Luma, and that gets you another star. And
yeah.
the challenges were fine, the platform was fine, but it was very linear, and I couldn't, there's not much to explore in any of the planetoids or galaxies or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree. Oh, you go ahead.
I would say that it's definitely less immersive, for sure. You know, having that camera way up here, you look like you're just more of an observer rather than interacting with the world like in Mario 64. You mean? Sorry.
I just want to see them experiment more with the idea that in Mario 64, you could select a star to go after, but then you could kind of change your mind about halfway through the level and go for a different one. I want to see them experiment more with that idea, giving you the option to change your route mid-level and go for something else through exploration. You know, when you're first playing Mario 64, you don't know where all the stars are, but, you know, you may be going along a path to get to one, and you're like, oh, hey, what's this one over here? Let me try to get this. And then all of a sudden you've gotten, like, a star instead of the first one you were going for. You know, I would like to see them experiment more with that kind of exploration.
Yeah, no, I agree with you guys. Like Matt was saying with Galaxy, I felt like you had the biggest world possible, you know, the vastness of space, and yet we were kind of just shooting between, you know, these little planets.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt like a tease in some ways for me. I know they've been hinting at Galaxy 3, but for me, I'd much rather see 64 or Sunshine type thing. Maybe even bringing it into some new environments, like we were talking about the original Mario Land there and Sarsaparilla Land or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, imagine having that in a 3D environment, mm-hmm. you know, rescuing Daisy or something. I mean, there's a lot of potential.
Yeah, like what if they did what Sonic Generations did, kind of let you revisit past Mario levels, but you know, recreated in 3D. That could be
That's a good idea.
That would be really cool, actually.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
You
Nintendo,
listening,
get on it.
Nintendo?
Yeah. I think they could incorporate a lot of elements from all the games too. Like even if it's not a proper, you know, Mario Galaxy 3, they could still please the Galaxy fans with, I mean, you know, we always have like a star road in the 2D Marios, but what if you had like a galaxy road, or you know, that was kind of like the final area of the world, and you kind of went up into this, you know, you had planetoids or whatever, and the main game is maybe on a single planet, and you've got all this open world area to explore, but there was at least like some special world or something that was out in space that you could experience. Yeah. Feel like they could combine them quite a bit.
Oh, I think that's the most we've ever been in agreement on this podcast episode.
Huzzah.
Sure.
And
But yeah, I'm excited. I think it's I mean, we've got to hear something soon. I would imagine next year, you know, if they're positioning a Mario game for the NX, I imagine we'll hear about new Mario next year.
I can't remember. I saw an article somewhere where they were Miyamoto was toying around with making another Mario Galaxy. So we might get another one of those.
It seems like they've been hinting at me for like NX,
Yeah.
which would be cool, but you know, I'd like something more. Or I was thinking even like some of the environments from like the Paper Mario games. Imagine if they had like those in a platformer.
Yeah.
You know, there's just so much potential even within Mario's existing universe. You know, it's not like they have to reinvent entirely new things. Just go back to some things that haven't been touched for very long or haven't been used in that particular way.
And Mario Galaxy is like perfect for that, because you could just write it into the story. Oh, Mario jumps through a wormhole, and now he's in another, you know, dimension, and now he's going through the Mario Land on Game Boy, like fully created in 3D or something like that.
That would be really cool. And
Yeah,
that
you
would
don't
be
need much
totally
for it.
fine for a story.
It's not like you
Exactly.
need an expansive
Not like I
plot.
play it for the game.
Yeah, no one's gonna go, wormhole, don't buy it.
This isn't canon.
You have to be
It's
careful
impossible to survive.
and make sure that people don't think it's just like a 3D Mario, you know, redux, you know, just all like old ones. Like, oh, it's got Mario 64 levels, you know. They have to walk a fine line between nostalgia and people thinking it's like ports of old levels and new graphics or whatever, remasters or whatever.
Well, that's what I think that Sonic Generations did really well, because you had the option to play the 2D levels, the classic ones, but then they recreated them in 3D for the modern Sonic, and vice versa. So you could play the stages as you remembered them, but then you also had a, you know, a way to play them in a different way, which I think was really cool.
Yeah. I think even just giving like, you know, I'm normally hesitant to promote like just remaking games, but even if they gave an HD shine to 64 or Sunshine, like they did with Wind Waker, I think
64,
that would
not
be a.
sunshine.
I'm sorry?
I'm saying 64, not Sunshine. Oh, 64.
If you're gonna do one of you, I would
I'd
do
rather see
Sunshine.
Sunshine, to be honest.
But
I love Mario
I think that would be a good
64,
way. If you're gonna do
but
Sunshine,
that
you
would
gotta
be.
make more levels. Well, no, they can tighten it up, fix your Yoshi issues, maybe streamline the blue coins a little bit. Maybe tap into some of that unfinished source code like Super Mario Sunshine 1.5. But it could be a good way too to gauge fan interest, you know, if that's the type of 3D route they're looking for. Because that's, you know, 64, sure, are people content to have more galaxy?
But see, the problem with the Sunshine HD and people thinking that they're going to add up like new levels or whatever is that that's essentially what we thought was going to happen when we heard the announcement of a Wind Waker HD. We thought, oh, they said they're going to fix some things, and we're thinking, oh, they might actually add a couple more dungeons because you remember, you know, Wind Waker was very short on dungeons. But I mean, they streamlined Triforce Quest and they added that new cell, and those were good things. But I know a lot of us wanted new dungeons to explore. We wanted to see like this complete Wind Waker experience that was like hinted at like bits and pieces of the original Wind Waker, and like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't
And
know.
actually,
Should have
they cut
been.
stuff because they cut the Tingle tuner, you know, the whole quest with the Game Boy Advance cable.
The best part of the game. Okay. You just got rid of it.
Yeah. You know. So that's true. If they did, yeah, if they did do that, if they did do an HD port, which at this point, the Wii U's life cycle, I don't think that's probably going to happen, but it would probably be more of a straight thing. But in any case, I digress.
So, Mario 64, make the good one.
No.
You can
HD remake, the good one.
You can love both games. It's not either or. I mean, you can like both. I do.
But if Sunshine was a good Mario game, then I would like both.
Justin or Alex, take over moderating duties here. I think Matt's getting a little
permaban.
He's getting a little Skyward Sword on Sunshine.
God's fired.
I'm going to start muting some microphones here. Load up this control room. But we probably should close out this CoopaCast because we're running about 45 minutes right now. So I'd like to thank all of you panelists for joining me and talking about Mario. I'd like to thank our listeners for listening to both our video podcast and our audio podcast, which premieres the following day after the broadcast. So it's Wednesday night, and we're just finishing up our CoopaCast Live. So Thursday at noon Eastern Daylight Time or Eastern Standard Time, whichever time of the year it is. That's when the next podcast goes up on audio. And if you have any questions for us, you can always leave a comment in any of our CoopaCast posts, or preferably the latest one. So you can always go to purenintendo.com and look for the latest CoopaCast post. You'll see it there. If you'd like to email us, you could do so at podcast@purenintendo.com. If you'd like to check us out on Twitter, we love talking to our fans on Twitter. All of our Twitter handles are right here on our Hangout, little profile things. For the audio listeners.
Yeah,
most of us.
Except for me.
For the audio listeners, I am at purelymatt. Justin is at purelyjustin. Alex is at
Alex Schramke.
Yeah, at Alex Schramke.
I'm the odd duck.
And Trevor Gould is at tgould86.
Trev G1.
Trev G1. Wait,
what's that for? Oh, for Twitter, yeah, it's Trev.
Trev G1.
Yeah. Trev G1, yeah.
Is there an underscore? I don't even remember.
Yeah, Tristan's the T Mineman 86.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Why is he 86 again?
I think that was when he was born.
I thought he was the same age as me. I thought he was younger than me.
No, he's not that old. I'm older than he is.
Yeah, Tristan,
I think
he
had to be 87.
I was like...
I mean, 89, not 87. He was probably born 89.
I'm the grandpa of the crew.
So stay tuned for our next podcast where we talk about how old Tristan is.
It's sure to be riveting.
Yeah. I think so. So until next time, we'll see you all later.
Yeah.
Bye. Good night, everybody.